This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 13, 2016, the 25th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Son of Righteousness shall arise, with healing in his wings. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Given the number of days that are after Pentecost, or are in ordinary time, as it is referred to nowadays. Depending on those days is whether or not there is time for a week in which there is a preparatory mass for Advent. There are traditionally preparatory masses before Lent, 3 weeks before Lent. That is how important Lent is, as we prepare ourselves for it. Advent being a little Lent, we should prepare ourselves for it also. And if opportunity arises, this particular Mass is celebrated. It's interesting to see the readings of this, because in our day and age, we've really skewed Advent. Advent is, as I said, and should be viewed as a little Lent. It is a preparatory time. So, no, that's Christmas time. That's when we get ready for Christmas. No, it's not. Christmas time is Christmas time. That's why we are supposed to celebrate after Christmas. Hence the song, 12 Days of Christmas. Okay. That's where that comes from. Okay. The celebration comes after Christmas. As I said, we've kind of twisted things around a little bit during the season that has always been identified as a little Lent, as when most people say, I gained 10 pounds. Who gains 10 pounds during Lent? You ought not gain 10 pounds through the little Lent. I'm not telling you not to have a good time as we prepare for Christmas. If nothing else, it's evangelical. You can share with people as to why you may do and not do some things that you do. But that is what Advent is about. It's a time of preparation. It is a time of preparation in that we are to recall what it was like before Jesus Christ came into the world. Before our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, it was utter darkness. There was nothing light about it. Earth was separated from heaven. Men were separated from God. There were the people of God always in faith embraced the idea, the concept, the promises that our Lord was going to in some way redeem them. They didn't know how, they didn't know who, they didn't know when. They just looked forward to it. It was utter darkness. And then the light shineth in the darkness with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the day comes. It is a day of anticipation. I was talking about this homily earlier in the week, and it was shared with me by someone that, no, it's not a little Lent. It's a time of joyful anticipation. I said, what? Yeah, that's what they teach. It's a time of joyful anticipation. The colors of the Mass when something is joyful is white. We see purple during Advent. Purple is the color of penance and sorrow. The pinnacle hymn of joy in the Mass is the Gloria. During Advent, we do not hear that hymn. It's actually left out of the Mass, even on Sundays, because it's not a time of joyful anticipation. That is actually a ridiculous statement in the purest sense of the word. It can be ridiculed because it's just not true. That is never the way Advent has been looked upon. Advent is a time for our preparation. And we don't change colors and leave things out just for people to enjoy something different. It is for a reason. And that reason for Advent is to prepare ourselves. Joyful anticipation? Not. Anticipation of our Lord's coming. Well, He's already come. He has already come as Savior. He is going to come again as judge. That is what we need to prepare ourselves for. That coming. It is a time of anticipation. We need to make ourselves ready for it. That's what it's all about. It is for you. It is not just something to do that's different before Christmas. It is for us, each and every one of us. Because when our Lord comes again, He makes very, very plain that the difference between the just and the wicked will be very plain. Those who serve Him and those who do not. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get a kick out of it. Like I said, it's ridiculous to think of it. Joyful anticipation. What were the readings today? You know, if you really paid attention, what I pray you did, the readings today. That first one talks about when He comes again, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. But for you who fear His name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise, and you will trample them under your feet. Joyful for who? The second reading. Don't be idle. Don't just sit around and twiddle your thumbs. Be engaged in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just on Sundays. Every day. Every minute of every day. Because He will be judging as to those who serve Him and those who do not. The gospel today. Even the gospel. Well, the gospel is the highlight of the whole thing. The gospel is that message of joy. Lord, look at this temple. Isn't it awesome? All the jewels and stuff and all the offerings. He doesn't even say, yes, but. He goes, I tell you, there won't be one stone left on another of this place. And not only that. Wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilence. And if that's not enough, you personally will be turned over. You will be persecuted. Some of you will be killed for my name's sake. That's joyful anticipation. It's anticipation. But that last sentence that our Lord says, right, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. He doesn't mean your lives here because He's not contradicting Himself. He says, some of you will be killed. And then He says, but not a hair of your head will perish. He's talking about eternal life. By your endurance, you will gain your lives eternally with me. If you serve me, you need to be on one side or the other. This one side or the other is so obvious in our day and age. You know, back in history, you can really look at, there's, you know, oh, they're middle of the road. There's some fanatic people, very rigid people. And then there's people who don't care. And then there's the people in the middle. You really know, even in our society, in our world, temporally speaking, the divide is tremendous. Just last week, how many times did you, I don't even pay attention to that stuff. And you couldn't help but hear, our nation has never been so divided. Yep, true. It has never been so divided. There's no middle ground anymore. There are people who believe that you can kill babies. Oh, that's just them, not me, but you know, it's all right, whatever, choice. Yeah. There are people that can live in the most abominable lifestyles to separate them from the grace of Christ and the joys of heaven. Oh, that's okay, that's them. No, it's not okay. Something's okay or it's not. Right and wrong, truth and falsehood. And then there are other people who believe in righteousness. That's why the divide is going on in our church. It's true. Look at the church. I've had people ask, you think there's going to be a division in the church? Gonna be? Look around you. You do have those who serve God and those who, they serve His church, the one He established, the one that was given a commission to go forth and baptize, administer the sacraments, and teach them to do all the things that I have commanded you. Teach them to do all that I commanded. And then you got the other side of the house who serves a social justice organization. Do you serve him, or do you serve this fallen place? Oh, that's just hardcore. Nobody. Did you hear the second reading today? You pay attention to the second reading? I'm surprised they didn't send out a message that says, hey, delete that one. Those who do not work do not eat. Now, there are people who cannot work. That is whom the church is supposed to fend for. You should go out of your way. You should do without to help a person who cannot work. But our little world is loaded with folks who will not. And they filch off of other people. They leech off the church. I confront every day. Phone calls, knocks on the door. I love the phone calls where it's like every 6 months they try the same church and they use the same spiel. That is their work. That's their living. Trying to get money from church. Guess what? No. Click. How uncharitable. So be it. That's what our Lord says. They don't work, they ought not eat. Get a job. All these things are understood to appreciate the fact that our Lord is coming in judgment. And we have to be introspective and start. That's what Advent is for. This constant examination of ourselves. Because our Lord speaks of the end. He understands that we deal with trash in this world. He understands that we have decisions that we have to make between this presentation and that presentation. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? Know the traditions of your church. Know the scriptures. Know what the magisterium has always said consistently. Then you will know what's truth and what's not. And it doesn't matter who says it. If it's not in conformance with those other three things, then it's wrong. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. We have to endure in things of the faith. It's hard. Life is hard. God knows it's hard. He knows we have hardships. There's a couple verses before that first reading actually started. Can't read everything. But it says, and I quote, "The Lord heeded them and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and thought on his name." God remembers. He knows what you put up with down here. He knows what you're putting up with. Things that can be everyday mundane annoyances to horrendous things that are happening in your life. Relationally, financially, whatever. He knows your hardships. And he will remember them if you persevere, if you endure through them. If you use him as your example of dealing with these things. Because he says, in that day that he will come, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. That one part in the middle should jump out at us. My special possession on the day when I act. He's talking about the day when he comes back in judgment. I've actually heard people before. Oh, I'd love to, when the Lord comes back, I'd love to be there and see. I'll tell you what, it ain't going to be pretty, to use bad grammar. There is nothing positive about when our Lord comes back in judgment. The only thing positive that there is for us who have him dwelling within us. And then even if we're here at that time, we'll persevere. We're here at the end. This contrast between light and darkness. I emphasized before we started that before our Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate, it was utter darkness, utter despair, separated from heaven and God. Our Lord Jesus Christ always contrasts his light by this darkness. The Holy Spirit never does anything or says anything for fluff or because it sounds churchy or for filler. Everything that he does for a reason. Even our Lord Jesus Christ's birth. When was our Lord Jesus Christ born? I mean, what time of day? When the shepherds were abiding in the fields, tending their flocks by night. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born at night. Even his birth. It wasn't just because the Blessed Virgin Mary, that was the time when she delivered. It was intentional. Even the time of his birth, as far as the time of day, contrasted light and darkness. At the end of almost every Mass here, we hear the last gospel. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's what Advent is for, is to ensure we're on the light side and not on the darkness side. Our Lord contrasted the light and the darkness at Bethlehem. He contrasts the light and the darkness in every day of our lives, not just during Advent and not just during Lent. We have this tendency to, even if we have the light within us, to besmirch that light, to quench that light, to put it under a bushel by our sins, venial sins which dim the light, mortal sins which separate us from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and keep us out of heaven. When we understand that that darkness is within us, what do? We should run to the confessional to fix it. Lent and Advent, if you don't go regularly, Lent and Advent should be the regular times when you go, because he always wants us to be prepared. Because when that light is contrasted with the darkness at the end, you want to be on the light side. Bethlehem, it happened. It happens for us every time we go to the confessional. It will happen at the end when he comes back in judgment, whether that end be at the end of your own life or the end when he comes back. There will be a reckoning. There is going to be a reckoning, and we need to be prepared. We should just do that on our own. It's called an examination of conscience. It should be happening every single day. But the church actually presses us to do it at Advent and in Lent. Use the upcoming Advent. It's not there again just to make things different. It's there for a reason. Use this coming Advent to ensure that the light of our Lord Jesus Christ is shining brightly in your soul. Because when he comes back in judgment, you want that light to be shining brightly in your soul, because you don't want a contrast between his light and any darkness that may remain. It's here for us. Let's embrace it, work through it, endure it, because by your endurance, you will gain your very lives. In the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost.